And now I'm very happy to bring on Dr. T. Colin Campbell. He is the author of The China Study and some other wonderful books, including Whole. And Colin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today?
Good. Good to hear your voice again, Karen.
It's just an honor to speak with you. You've just done incredible things for so many decades, but right now I want to thank you for being a great dad.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Leanne sounded like things were really hectic and she had to take off and couldn't do the program, and she asked you and Dell to give some of your time, take her place, and I really appreciate you doing that.
Well, thanks.
Okay, so what's new with you? What are you working on these days?
Well, a number of different things, too many things, but one of which is Tom, our youngest son, who now is a physician, as you probably know. He's directs a program in nutrition and medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center. In any case, Tom and I are doing the second edition of the China Study. That will be out after the first of the year. We're supposed to be out a little before that, but that's what we're doing. And I'm still lecturing a lot, going places.
I'm curious, what
involved with the oldest son who directed the film Plant Pure Nation, which is out now.
So yeah, you're not only a great author, but you're a movie star.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's kind of an accidental thing. I never planned that earlier in life, so whatever comes along.
Yes, well, have amazing amount of energy. You're like one of these Energizer batteries or whatever. They just keep going. And I imagine you're fueled on plants.
Yes, I'm eating the right food, like you are.
Eating the right food. What a difference it can make.
Yeah, for sure.
This new China study that's coming out, what can we expect to see in it? Are you going to talk about what the people in China are like today health-wise compared to when you first did the study?
A little bit, not too much, but basically we didn't change anything. I mean, the material we had in the first edition is still going to be there. What we did, we kind of went through and, added some commentary here and there, but added some new material. There's a whole new chapter, now the largest chapter in the book, having to do with, advancing this message into a larger context, larger population. So it's much the same, but there'll be some really new stuff, I think. I don't know. A little bit about the Chinese situation. I mean, all societies tend to gravitate, as time passes, from their native diets originally to the typical diet we use here in the West, and we get in trouble. That's really what happens. So.
Well, you've been fighting this fight, researching this topic for so many decades, and you've come upon so much resistance, and yet you've continued with grace and aplomb, and finally are getting the recognition you deserve, and people are starting to hear your message. But as you know, there's still many people who aren't getting it. I don't know if you saw this article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago that was titled, "How Can Vegetarians Get Enough Protein?"
Oh, my God. That's as old as the hills.
And I don't know if you know Dr. David Saris, the director of medical nutrition at Columbia University Medical Center.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, in this article, he was quoted saying a number of things, and I just can't believe it's 2016, and this is printed by a reputable doctor at a prestigious university, but he said a number of things I thought maybe you might comment on. He said, "It is my opinion that veganism is not consistent with human life because all vitamin B12 originated in an animal." That was one thing.
My answer
to
that is total nonsense. First off, B12 does not originate in animals. On that score alone, he's wrong. B12 is produced by microorganisms. It just so happens ruminant animals have a lot of microorganisms in their rumen, essentially. We also produce some too, although it's not as available. But that's total nonsense. As far as veganism, I don't, to be honest about it, Karen, I know everyone uses the word vegan, but I have some difficulty with that word have from the very beginning. Namely, people became vegan or vegetarian, if you will, as you know, as we all know, primarily did so over the years for ideological reasons, animal rights reasons in particular, which is, it's fine to make that decision that way. But I didn't come to that for that reason. I just simply was doing the research and came up with the idea that eating whole plant-based foods is based on really good science, and it really is. And vegans today, unfortunately, are the data really show that their average fat content is still around 30%. That's not so good. And their consumption on average of refined carbohydrates is not so good. I mean, they're certainly taking a step in the right direction, no question about that. But they're not quite able to do what the whole food plant-based diet can do.
Yes, and, I know. Also, with vegan Oreos out there, it just makes it hard for a lot of people.
That's right. And so what happens under circumstances like that is as they consume, especially high fat, without all of the other good stuff, the antioxidants and things like that, what happens, part of a significant proportion of their total calorie intake is taken up by this non-nutrient, energy-dense substance. And so their consumption of the antioxidants in the form of whole foods actually goes down. And then you add to that the refined carbohydrates on top of it. They're somewhat better than, let's say, the omnivores, or the omnivores, but not that much better. And the same with vegetarians. Vegetarians, still 90% are using dairy and oftentimes eggs and fish. So their nutrient composition, too, is not as good as what it could be. And so I would like to make that distinction.
And I'm glad you did. It's important.
Yeah, it really is important in terms of the science. I mean, when I'm looking at the science and when I assess, let's say what effect food has on health, and primarily, focusing on the nutrient composition of those foods. And by that, I mean, that the food on average ought to be in the neighborhood of around 10% protein. By the way, whole plant-based foods have the ideal level of protein. The fellow at Columbia doesn't seem to know that, but they have the ideal level of protein, which was established many years ago. We called it the recommended dietary allowance. The minimum intake required is more in the neighborhood of 5, 6, 7%. So they added a couple of standard deviations to that to make sure that everybody got enough. That was established way back in 1943. And even at the early 1900s, it was shown then that people with protein intakes in the neighborhood of 4, 5, 6% did just fine. So we've had this fascination, I guess you could say, with protein over the years. And most people tend to think protein means animal food or animal protein. And it's not, as we know. We got all the protein we need, ideal levels of protein, simply consuming whole plant-based foods.
Okay, we're talking about protein. I don't know where it was, but I remember reading something recently that said as we age, seniors need more protein.
Yes, that was a study that came out. People over, I can't remember what the cutoff point was.
Yeah, like 60
over
or
65 65. Or something like that. There was some evidence, but if you look at those data carefully, it was so minor as to have really, in my mind, been almost as much of a chance. It was barely significant, but, under that circumstance, to say that kind of thing, I think, had been really quite exaggerated. And I say that, the reason I say that is because all human studies, except for Dr. Esselt and Dr. Ornish, all human studies, the epidemiological studies, quite frankly, when they make statements about how much protein we should consume or how much fat or how much this or that, all the people in all those studies, none of those studies, which have been tens of thousands of those studies, none of them have people in those studies who are consuming a whole food plant-based diet. So I say it's inappropriate for researchers who are using those kinds of studies to speculate what might happen with whole food plant-based diets.
But that's really a
major issue in terms of interpreting the science. So
Remind you, I think the last time I saw you was at a book launch party or book signing party by Ben Bella Books when you came out with the book Whole. Brooklyn at some little bowling alley pub place.
Right, I remember that. kind of a strange place. It worked.
It was a very interesting place. And I got maybe 4 or 5 copies of your book, and I didn't read it until like last month. But I'm glad I read it, and it's a great book.
Yeah, I'm excited. Actually, if anything, maybe more excited about Whole than I was the China study, because Whole was an attempt, at least on my part, to try to understand a little bit better why there's so much confusion about nutrition in the public and why there's so much confusion amongst the professionals, including nutritional scientists in my community. And I finally came up with, I guess, an idea that partly old, partly new. I just find really, really exciting. And actually, I'm finding now that book Whole is actually being used by quite a number of university classes for required or recommended reading.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, because we do need a different paradigm when it comes to scientific study. And, this whole reductionism thing you've mentioned in the book, it can be useful to some degree, but we nearly need to look at the whole system, not just one little thing. But it's so expensive to do lots of different experiments with a gazillion parameters.
It is. That in part was the basis for the China study, just in part. But there we collected as much information as we possibly could, and then got involved in sort of combining some ideas and some observations and, looking for patterns. And then, of course, that can be assessed statistically to some extent. And incidentally, I do have to add the comment that we did not assume causality from correlations. Some of the folks out there have criticized the China project itself because we did that. We did not. In fact, I lectured on exactly what they were concerned about. So the China study, with lots of information, and we were basically looking for, I was at least looking for, the kind of patterns that made sense in terms of the other information that's available in the literature, or we did ourselves, before doing the China study.
I'm sure the criticism for the China study was very frustrating, and a lot of it, if you really understand what you're talking about, that they don't know what they're talking about. But I like to say, don't read your press, weigh it.
Yeah, I know. That's about right. Unfortunately, some of them are quite, they're backed up by some pretty big interest groups.
And, like the Weston Price Foundation and all of their followers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine ask me, he said, can you point me to one study that, basically, he wanted to know the one study that tells it all, that really shows that a plant-based diet is superior or not. And, I know that one study doesn't exist, and I basically said, read Whole, and you'll understand why I don't have an answer to that question. But just like people want one pill to fix a disease, they want to see it easy and see it in one place.
Yeah, that concept of Whole, I'm really finding more and more exciting as time passes. I started out, as with trying to get a feel for that concept by simply considering the inner workings of a cell, of which we have between 10 and 100 trillion cells in our body. And every cell is like a universe. Mm-hmm. And it's infinitely complex. I mean, I spent much of my early career sort of in the biochemical characteristics of the cell, and particularly in relation to nutrition. But those cells, who can imagine how much is 10 and 100 trillion cells in our body? And one cell, you can sit on the head of a pin, and you can't see it. It's that small. but we've got trillions of those cells, each one of which is like the universe. And so you see all these reactions going on inside of the cell. We know that. And we know, you know, and it's changing, you know, every nanosecond in time, even shorter periods of time. And so you get this extraordinary dynamic going on. And it's basically nature at work is really what
it
is.
This is fascinating. And I want to leave people with that thought of imagining all of these trillions of universes within our bodies. And if you want to hear more or know more about Dr. Campbell, you can go to the Total Health Conference, right?
Yes, that's good. That's very exciting. I like the format for the conference in particular. I've lectured there both times that Leanne did that, but it's really relaxing. I heard what Dell said, and it's a different kind of experience, and you can relax and really talk and get involved in some serious discussions at the same time. It's really nice.
Yes, well, here's an opportunity to have questions given right to you and get your answers.
I guess, yeah. At least
okay,
make a comment they can comment on.
Yeah, great. Well, Dr. Campbell, thank you for joining me. Thank you for everything you've done and continue to do. And have a great time at the Total Health Conference.
Thanks very much, Karen, for inviting me on. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Well, that was Dr. T. Colin Campbell, and he and Del Sroof are some of the speakers that will be at the Global Roots Total Health Conference. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to Responsibility and Living and look at the information for this show that we just had today, and you can click on the links to get to that information. Whew. And we've come to the end of the show. Thank you for joining me. And I wanted to say, not only did Lee Chantel celebrate her 10th anniversary of her website, but we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of my blog, What Vegans Eat. It happened 4 or 5 days ago. So thank you for supporting that. And we're celebrating. Woo-hoo! All right. So thank you for tuning in. Love today, and have a delicious week.